I think we can get through this tonight. That's our prayer. I want to, but I don't want to just get through it for the sake of getting through it. But I want to give you what the Lord has got on our heart. Amen. How many of y'all could see that cycle? How many could you see that cycle in the nation of Israel? Let me show you something before I begin reading in chapter 6 and 7 here. We'll just read a little bit along the way. I thought this was interesting. I was going to save this for the end, but I believe the Lord wants me to mention it right now. Look at chapter 8, Judges chapter 8, and verse number 33 through verse number 35. The Bible said, and it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead. Now, I want you to watch this. God, we're talking about this leader, this great leader that God raised up. God gave him power. God gave him strength. God used him in a mighty way. But as soon as he was dead, the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-Berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all the enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. I want to ask you a question. Is that not about unbelievable? I mean, not only that they forget God and forget God's deliverance as soon as he's dead, but they don't have any kindness to show to his kinfolk. That to me is just about unbelievable that anybody could be that cold and that cold-hearted. But I tell you something right now. These things going on in this country, it's unbelievable. We never thought we'd see the day. Say amen. And it's unbelievable how that a nation can forget God so quickly. The Bible said, let me just say this, come to my heart just now. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. I'm going to tell you something right now. That does not exempt the good old United States of America. Amen. And tonight, we want to start looking back here at the life of Gideon. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. That's my intent. Amen. We said this morning some things about Gideon, but I want to do a little bit of reading here in the Word of God. And my wife's been coaching me a little bit. And I don't know if y'all notice it at times, but at times I get into a bigger hurry. Amen. And somebody said to me last week, said when the women say something, said you ought to listen. Maybe I shouldn't have said that publicly. But they do have a lot of wisdom. Amen. And my wife said, honey, when you're reading the scripture, you need to slow down. And she's right. I said, honey, that is the most important thing. And she said, yes, that's right. But sometimes I guess I'm just wanting to get to the message so bad, amen, that I just kind of stumble over my words trying to get there as I read the scripture. So let's look tonight here in the Word of God. The Bible said in verse 23 of chapter number 6, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Why had God said that to Gideon? It's because that Gideon realized in verse 22, he perceived that this man that was with him was the angel of the Lord. And he saw him face to face and he knew that couldn't happen and you still live. And so he was concerned about that. And the angel of the Lord said, peace be unto you. The angel of the Lord's actually left. And the Lord said that to him. Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That Jehovah Shalom means the Lord send peace. In verse 25, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal. This is going to take a little bit of courage, is it not? He said, I want you to take your father's bullock, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Let me say something to you tonight. I got so much in my heart tonight, but there's something being pictured right here that we need to remember. The Word of God says, honor your mother and father. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. I believe we're to obey the laws of the land. How many believes that?
But I'm going to tell you something right now, whether it's mom and dad or whether it's the laws of the land, when they get crossed up with this old book right here, God's teaching us, go with this old book. Amen. Go with the things of God. Go the way of God. He says to Gideon, he said, I want you to take your daddy's own oxen, and I want you to go over there, and I want you to pull down that altar that they built to Baal, and I want you to cut down that grove. I've not done a lot of studying about Baal worship, but I'll tell you something right now. It was heathen, and it was licentious in its practice. Amen. There was a lot of immorality around Baal worship that went on. And God said, hey, if you want me to work, there's some things going to have to be pulled down. There's some things going to have to be done away with. And so I'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. And the Bible said, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and he did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city. In other words, if Gideon got caught doing this, he was going to be in a heap of trouble. He could not do it by day, that he did it by night. He went out at night and did it. Now watch this in verse 28. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, I like this, now watch it. Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. Whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. You know what happened? Gideon stood for what's right, and God began to work in his daddy's heart. And Gideon's daddy said, hey, if he's a god and just one can throw down his altar, he ain't much of a god. Amen. I believe that's important to see. Now watch this tonight. The Bible said here, therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and they went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. I love this verse. Look at verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, unto Zebulun, unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. To me, this is almost unbelievable that this man has already seen God bring him to this point. Amen. But, you know, you could say that of John the Baptist down there in the prison. I mean, John had seen a lot, had he not? John had witnessed a lot. John had baptized the Lord Jesus. John got to see the dove come down out of heaven. John got to hear him say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And yet down there in the prison, there was a little lapse in John's life. And he said, he sent his disciples, he said, go ask Jesus, art thou he? Or should we look for another? Of course, Jesus sent him back. I can't remember everything he said, but it was something like this. You just tell him the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk and the dead are raised. And I believe John said, that's him. Amen. You say, preacher, why did you magnify that? Because if you are real, you and I both will admit we have some lapses sometimes in our faith. Amen. Some little glitches, so to speak. Or lapses. And so he's wanting to make sure. He said, if you're going to save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, everybody knows this story just about. Verse 37, he said, I'll lay a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. I don't know how big that bowl was, but in my heart, I don't believe it's just a little bitty bowl. Amen. I believe God put plenty of water on that. Amen. God wanted him to know, hey, son, I'm going to use you. And I'm going to save Israel by your hand. And then Gideon said unto God, watch this now. Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. How many believe God's God? And God can do whatever God wants to do. Amen. That was not a problem at all. And God evidently didn't mind Gideon wanting to be sure of the hand of God. You know, the Bible did say if you're going to build something, sit down first and count the cost. Amen. Make sure you have sufficient to finish it. And so here, Gideon wanted to make sure that God was going to use this little fella that's poor. He's weak. He's cowardly. Amen. And he was just wanting to make sure that the God of heaven was going to do with him what he said he would. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for the word of God. I thank you for this man in the Bible called Gideon. God, I believe tonight there's a great truth here for us to see. I pray, God, tonight you'll help us to see it. Help us to see it clearly. Help us to realize, Lord, that in our way we may be weak. Sometimes, Lord, we may be cowardly. I know, Lord, in 27 years of being saved, there was times, Lord, when you wanted me to speak up and say a word for thee. And, Lord, I was silent. I did not say a word. And, Lord, I'm ashamed of that, but it's the truth. God, I pray tonight that you would help us, Lord, to be strengthened with the power of your might. And, Lord, that we might see the enemy conquered for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We look this morning at the condition of God's people. We're looking now at the choosing of God's leader. God's leader is going to be Gideon. And I believe with all of my heart, it is important. I want to say some things tonight about Gideon that I hope will be a blessing to you, and God will use it in our own lives as well. How is it that Gideon, he was so weak and so cowardly, will become so strong and be so greatly used of God? I'm going to give you some things, and we'll move right on into the last thing in the message, the conquering of God's enemy. Let's look at some things here tonight. First of all, I want to say this. He had an encounter with a holy God. Gideon had an encounter with a holy God. You say, preacher, where did you see that? I saw that back over there where the Lord, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. And then we see it when, and if you'll notice down here in verse number 21, the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock. How many knows when God does something like that? And when he consumes that sacrifice like he did for Elijah, he's saying, I approve of what's going on here. He's putting the stamp of his approval on what was going on in Gideon's life. And the word of God said here, there rose up fire out of the rock, consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. I just want you to know tonight, we must have an encounter with the holy God if God's going to use us to defeat the enemy. Amen. Now, I want to say this. I don't say it in a mean way, but we cannot be strong in the Lord unless we're in the Lord. How many knows what I just now said? I believe this country of ours is full. I'm talking about from pulpit to the pew of people that are trying to be strong in the Lord that don't even know Him in the free pardon of sin. Amen. You say, preacher, you can't say something like that. Oh, yes, I can. when a man gets in this pulpit and tells you there's another way besides Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I'm telling you, he's not of God. Amen. My friend, the Bible said, if you deny the Father and the Son, you're Antichrist. Amen. And so here, there must be an encounter with the Holy God. Number two, if we're going to be used of God and be the leader that God wants us to be. How many believes homes need leaders? Classrooms need leaders. Amen. On the job, we need leaders. In the church, we need leaders. And if we're going to be the leader that God wants us to be, there needs to be an encounter with the Holy God, number one. Number two, we need to build an altar. Notice what the Bible said here. The Bible said of Gideon, the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord. We need to build an altar. I believe it is the altar of God with an AR at the end of it that will alter our lives with an ER at the end of it. Amen. The altar will alter the lives of the children of God. Amen. And it altered here Gideon's life. We need an encounter with the Holy God. I believe that. We need to build an altar. And watch this. We need to build up what needs to be built up. That was the altar. But we need to be willing to tear down what needs to be tore down. That was the altar of Baal, and that was the grove. Amen. I believe with all of my heart there would have been no victory. You can't have it both ways. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Amen. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, or vice versa. You've got to get it, my friend, nailed down that God is the one you're going to serve. I'm going to tell you something. It was a big thing. For Gideon to go out there and tear down his daddy's altar, the altar to Baal, tear down the grove, that was huge. Amen. Did you all know that in places like China, where there's a great deal of revival going on, and people are getting saved by the good grace of God, that love to hear about Jesus and don't want to just sit in church for 30 minutes or an hour. They want to sit at least a half a day. After all, they walk 4 hours to get there. In the Philippines, it's going on. I'm telling you that many times when they name the name of Christ, their family disowns them, won't have anything to do with them. But I'm telling you, it was here in Gideon's life that he said, it really doesn't matter what daddy says. I know what my heavenly Father wants me to do. And it was a blessing to see him do it. There's an encounter with the Holy God. He builds an altar. He built up what needed to be built up. And he tore down what needed to be tore down. I'll say this tonight. I'm not going to go into all of it. But you all know I'm telling the truth. There's some things that have been raised up and built up in this country that need to be tore down to the ground. They need to be tore down. They need to be tore down. I say, preacher, I thought you said there's hope. I'm going to tell you something right now. The same God that builds up can tear down. Amen. I believe some of these things that's going on in this country of ours and in the name of revenue and in the name of immorality, God will judge. Amen. Watch this now. Encounter with a holy God. He builds an altar. He builds up what needs to be built up. He tears down what needs to be tore down. But look at verse 33. He's willing to face the enemy. The Bible said in verse 33, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and they went over and they pitched in the valley of Jezreel. If you'll notice in verse number 34, Gideon was not going to face them in the energy of the flesh or the wisdom of the flesh. He was going to face them in the energy of the Spirit of the living God. The Bible said, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. When he blew the trumpet, there was a call to arms. There was a call to war. And the people gathered together, and even as Gideon sees the people coming in to fight, he still has a question mark in his mind about whether God is going to use him to do this or not. Let me give you this last thing real quickly and we'll move on. Gideon wanted to be sure of God's leading. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been unsure of God's leading? Have you ever had a question mark in your mind? I don't know how You know, we have some wonderful Sunday school teachers around here. I don't know how you could even teach Sunday school for a couple of months and not be sitting there on Saturday night and say, "Now, Lord, are you sure this is this the way you want me to go, Lord?" How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, as long as you're teaching the Bible, that's all that matters." I beg to differ with that. I believe God wants us to have the lesson for that hour and the message for that hour, and that we must seek the face of God to find out what that is. Amen. I believe that's important. And I believe, you know, how many believes before God ever spoke the world into existence, He knew who would be here tonight? Now think about that for just a minute. You say, "Preacher, what about them that ain't here?" Oh, I don't know. You know, some have very good reasons not to be here tonight. But I tell you this, God didn't give me a message for them that's not here. God give us a message, amen, because He wants us to conquer the enemy. He wants us to be leaders in our homes, leaders for the Lord, amen. Gideon wanted to be sure of God's leading. He puts out the fleece. Now, I want to say something tonight. I don't encourage this. I like to find answers in the Word of God. That's where I would prefer to find an answer, amen. But let me say this to you. If you've got your mind made up before you start looking in the Bible, you'll find something to go along with what your mind's already made up to do. How many knows that, amen? Somebody said one time, be careful about that Russian roulette, that Bible roulette. One guy opened his Bible and it said Judas went out and hanged himself. And he opened it again real quick, put his finger on a verse, said, "Go down, do likewise." He said, "Oh, that ain't going to work." And he put his finger on another verse and said, "What thou doest, do quickly." Amen. That ain't the way we treat the Word of God. Amen. But I tell you what, if we'll throw it in neutral and we'll say, "God, it doesn't matter to me which way you want me to go. Just show me the way." He'll show us the way that He wants us to go. I know years ago, I was over in Wise County, and this is what I was facing. I'm going to try to be careful how I say this. It's the truth. It's the very truth. But I just want to try to be careful. I had resigned the church there, and I was filling a notice. You say, "Preacher, why would you do that?" Because it said so in the Constitution, and I believe God's people will do what God's people say they'll do. Amen. That's called character. Amen. I wasn't running from anything. Amen. I just wanted to obey the Lord, do the will of God. And I was down praying one afternoon. My wife had taken the children. I think she went to get some groceries. And I was down praying, and the Lord broke my heart for the church that I would be going to. Broke my heart in prayer. I was not. As a matter of fact, I had preached in that church once. And when we left the church and pulled off the parking lot, this is what I told my wife. I said, "I've noticed three things." She said, "What's that, honey?" I said, "Number one, they don't have a pastor." I said, "Number two, they don't want a pastor. And number three, they will not have a pastor anytime soon." You say, "Preacher, how could you notice that?" Well, I don't know, but I did. Amen. And so we went on. And then God breaks my heart for that church in prayer. He didn't show me in the Word of God that He wanted me to go there. He showed me in prayer that He wanted me to go there. He said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, let me give you this. I go to that church, and the church, it took them. I didn't know it was going to be me waiting 8 months. Say amen when I said they won't have one anytime soon. I didn't know it was going to be me waiting 8 months. Three other churches wanted me to come. I said, "Preacher, we believe God wants you to be our pastor. We believe God wants..." What in the world do you do when this one says come, this one says come, this one says come? God told you to go to that one. They're saying stay away. What do you do? Put yourself in that situation for a minute. I tell you what I did. I sought counsel. I talked to a pastor. I said, "Pastor, this is what's going on. They want me to come. They want me to come. They want me to come. And over here, I believe with all my heart, God showed me in prayer that's where I'm supposed to go. But they don't want me to come." He said, "Preacher, do you know what God wants?" I said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "I believe I know with all my heart what God wants." He said, "You better not do nothing if you know what God wants. And so I just put her in park. Amen. I kept preaching here, there. And I ended up going to that church that God wanted me to go to. When I got there, there was a little bit of turmoil. Some of them wanted to know, do you have a verse of scripture? And I said, well, no, I've done told y'all. God broke my heart in prayer for you all. Well, I tell you, you ought to have a verse of scripture. I said, well, I've done been sitting in y'all's congregation, and I've done heard y'all get up there and tell the people not to be talking to each other about who your pastor's supposed to be, but to be talking to God. I said, it's strange to me that you all can get an answer talking to God, but I can't. Somebody help me tonight. I'm talking about a man, Gideon, that's going to be used of God. He's trying to get an answer for sure from God. He said, preacher, have you ever put out a fleece? Well, two times in my life. I remember vividly the last time. How many of y'all remember, I guess it was it in Revival? No, it was a Sunday night service. There's three guys that come in here from Long's Bend. How many of y'all remember that? Sit right over there. Long's Bend Baptist Church, they were one of my supporting churches. And they'll tell you, one of the deacons come, knocked on my door and said, preacher, we're without a pastor. And I've prayed and I believe with all my heart that God wants you to come. Would you consider it? And I said, well, brother, as far as I know, I'm doing what God wants me to do, but I'll pray about it. And I'll tell you something, I got to going. I was filling the pulpit for them when I could. They needed somebody down across the river in Sir Gawnsville. Been kind of handy right in my back door that I was just, I really did not feel any leading. But one day I was praying. I was in a prison in upstate Pennsylvania, SCI retreat, right on the Susquehanna River. It was a Friday night in a prison meeting, and God is my witness, I did not get down to pray about that church in Sir Gawnsville. But it had been bugging me. How many knows what it is when something's bugging you? And you need to either just, you know, get it off of you, or get on with it, one or the other, amen? And it was bugging me and bugging me and bugging me. I got down to pray, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. I said, God, I need to know. I need an answer. I said, God, I'm yours. I don't belong to myself. You bought me. You paid for me. I belong to you. I said, God, if you want me to take that church down there, I said, I'll take that church. And Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I want you to save seven men. Excuse me, I got it backwards. I want you to save nobody. Nobody be saved this weekend. If you want me to take that church. Then I turned it around. I said, God, if you want me to stay in the Rock of Ages, you want me to keep doing what I'm doing, I want you to save seven men this weekend. Put it both ways. I didn't know I was lining up there with Gideon, but I turned it around both ways. Now you say, preacher, what happened? Well, Friday night meeting, nobody saved. It's unusual to have a meeting in prison and somebody not profess faith in Christ. I'm being honest. Saturday morning, nobody saved. Saturday afternoon, nobody saved. Sunday morning, the Lord allowed me to quote Isaiah chapter number 53 and preach. I'm telling you, God just broke my heart for sinners. I told him about the suffering of our dear Lord, how he died for us on that old rugged cross. I gave an invitation, and here they come. One, two, three, four, five, six. Now, let me say something about prison work. It's very unusual if six men walk down the aisle for all six of them to want to get saved. One of them's wanting to pray about this or pray about his court case, or one of them's wanting to say, well, I've been saved, but I've just backslid. You hear that a lot. I've been saved, but I'm backslid. And listen, there's a glass room over here. The man that's helping me, I'm able to see into it. And I look over there and I say, one, two, three, four, five, six. And I turn around. And I said, I believe God's dealing with. And before I could get that out of my mouth, another man stepped out, came down the aisle, and went over there. Seven. But you know, still, you just don't know. And so we got done. The meeting's over with. We're leaving the prison ground. I said, Brother Leach, there's something I got to know. I said, how many of those men that were in that glass room over there, how many of those men got saved by the grace of God? He said, preacher, you ain't going to believe this. He said, every one of them. He said, every one of them knew they was lost, and every one of them wanted to be saved. Every one of them said they were tired of their sin, and every one of them asked Jesus to save them. Now, listen to this. I keep records with the prison ministry. But y'all that's been around me, you know they ain't enough brain up there to remember what happened 6 months ago. I had no idea what happened in that prison the 6 months prior meeting. Boy, did it bless me when I see it. You say, preacher, what did you see? I went back and looked at the report. Guess how many men were saved the 6 months prior? One. You see, that zero was a whole lot closer to that one than it was to that seven. It was a whole lot more likely, according to numbers, for one man to be saved or no men to be saved than it was for seven men to be saved. You say, preacher, why would you tell that? Because there's a God in heaven that does not want to hide His will from us. If we get interested in knowing His will, He will show us His will for our life. I believe that with all my heart. You say, preacher, what kind of fleece did you put out for Bible Way? I didn't. I pulled on the parking lot. How many remembers? I'm telling you one verse of scripture. God dropped it in my heart. You say, preacher, God dropped it in my heart. Oh, yes. And if I ever had to look back and say, well, was it real? Oh, yes, it was real. Under the direction of the sweet Spirit of the living God. I believe tonight Gideon is showing us here that there are times when we might have a question, but we shouldn't let that keep us from being what God wants us to be for His honor and for His glory. How does he become strong? How does he become a leader? He has an encounter with the Holy God. He builds an altar. He built up what needed to be built up, tore down what needed to be tore down. He faced the enemy in the spirit, and Gideon wanted to be sure of God's leading. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all believe that God's leading is important? Listen to me carefully right here. I'm going to say something. It needs to be said. It needs to be said everywhere. But I don't preach everywhere. So I'm going to go ahead and just say it right here. One of the things that's happened in our generation, it's too easy to jump from one church to another church to another church. How many knows what I just said? Amen. And I tell you something right now. The average pastor is just glad to have them any way he can get them. Amen. I read a story the other week. Listen to me carefully. How many believes that we want people here that God leads here? I believe that's important. Amen. That God leads the folk. Amen. I believe that's very important. Amen. We shouldn't do what we do just because mama did it or daddy did it or just because we've always done it that way. We ought to be interested in being in the will of God and letting God lead us. They said they had revival in this town. The preachers got together, and the Methodist preacher said, well, we had a good meeting. Said, we gained 4 families. The Baptist preacher said, oh, boy, did we have a good meeting. He said, we gained 6 families. And the Presbyterian preacher said, boys, we must not have had much of a meeting, but we're doing good. 10 of the most troublemaking people you ever met in your life left our church. Amen. Y'all got that, didn't you? Amen. Got rid of 10 troublemakers. Amen. I tell you tonight, God wants us to follow Him. And God wants to lead us. And I believe that He will. Let me give you just a couple of things. The condition of God's people. The choosing of God's leader. And then we're going to look for just a moment tonight at the conquering of God's enemy. Let me just show you a couple of things real quick. We're not going to read chapter number 7. It's a wonderful story. If I don't read it all, how many promises you will? Go home and read it. Amen. Wonderful story. A wonderful story. They start out with 32,000 men. God said, that's too many. So they just make a little announcement. Well, if you don't want to go, you don't have to go. And so them that was fearful, they just took off. They still had 10,000 men. That was, I guess that'd be 22,000 left. Would that be right? 22,000 left. They had 10,000. I mean, 22,000 went home, and that left 10,000 men. You say, preacher, what happened then? God said, that's still too many. You say, preacher, why was God so concerned about the number? God wanted to get the glory. Amen. Listen, there's nothing wrong with knowing how many you had in Sunday school. There's nothing wrong with knowing how many we had in church. There's nothing wrong with knowing what the offering was. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There are things more important than how many we have in Sunday school, how many we have in the morning service, how much we have in the offering. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. I believe with all my heart we need God's working and God's wooing, God's power in our midst, that we might see God do something. And so God whittles it down. He tells them to go down there and get them a drink of water. He said, now you watch them, Gideon. He said, some of them's going to get down on all fours. In other words, they're going to get down there, and boys, they're going to take their time, and they're going to get them a good drink. He said, you set them over one bunch. And he said, some of them's going to lap like dogs. They're going to go by there. They're going to scoop them up some water. And he said, you set them over there. I tell you what, I believe Gideon might have had just a little bit of hope. You know what I mean? He might have said, well, boy, look at it, Lord. There's a bunch of them over here. God said, that ain't the bunch. It's this bunch over here that I'm going to use. Amen. 300. God's going to use 300 men to win the battle. You say, oh, preacher, how did this start in your heart? I'll tell you how it did. God uses unlikely men in unlikely ways to accomplish unlikely things for the glory of God Almighty. Amen. I believe that's the life of Gideon. We see here several things tonight, and I want to just give it to you. First of all, when you go back and remember about the dew on the fleece, the dew is a type, I believe, of the Spirit of God. He said, I will be as the dew unto Israel. You remember the manna that fell from heaven. Where did it park? It fell upon the dew. And when the sun got hot, what did it do? It melted. It went away. They had to gather it early in the morning. In Deuteronomy 33, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as the dew upon the grass. And then the Bible talks about the dew there in Psalm 133. Amen. That God blesses unity among the brethren. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And he uses that dew as a type. Amen. I believe it's important. We need to understand that without the Spirit of God, there'll be no victory. Let's go on into conquering God's enemy. What's he going to do? He's going to use a pitcher. A pitcher. And a lamp. And a trumpet. I want to show you this real quickly. He said, preacher, why don't you come back Wednesday night? Because I've already committed to Philippians Wednesday night, and I can't wait to get back to it. Amen. Amen. I want to show you something here in this victory. It's important. The pitcher. That's a vessel. It's something that could be broken. How many of y'all believe that we're vessels? God wants us to be vessels unto honor. Amen. Now listen to me carefully right here. This is important. God is going to use them. What's going to happen, preacher? This is a study in and of itself. But they're going to go out there. They're going to break up into three companies of 100. And then Gideon says to them, he says, I want you to do as I do. Amen. I want you to do as I do. And when I sound the trumpet, he said, I want you to break the pitcher. And I want you to shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And what happened? The Midianites were so fearful that they turned on one another and began to kill one another. Amen. You say, preacher, it's a miracle. I'm glad you finally figured that out. Amen. Let me say something. Every time the enemy is conquered, it is a miracle of God. We are not greater than he is. But thank God, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Now watch this tonight. It's important. What was down inside the pitcher? A light. He said, preacher, I don't understand what this has to do with us. Listen to the book of Corinthians. We have this treasure. How many believe Jesus is a treasure? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know what I found out about an earthen vessel? It can be broken. You say, preacher, when are we going to see that hope realized in our country? When are we going to see revival in our country? I'll tell you when. I'll tell you when. When we begin to mourn over the condition of our country. When we're broken. God said, I'll draw nigh to him that's of a broken and a contrite spirit. And when we're broken, what comes out? The light that was down inside of us all along. In our pride, Brother Joe, the light will never shine. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, let me give it to you like this. When Jesus stood and looked out over Jerusalem, the Word of God said he wept over that city. I believe if he stood up on a hill in Bloomingdale, he would weep over Bloomingdale. I believe God needs some broken vessels that he might use for the glory of God Almighty. You see, if we're not careful, and I'm not trying to be condescending, if we're not careful, here's what we want. We want the victory. We just want somebody else to be broken so we can have it. We want some other church to carry the burden. I'm going to tell you something right now. God wants us to carry our part. God wants us to be broken over our children, our grandchildren. God wants us to be broken over our community. God wants us to be broken over this country that we live in. I believe it's important tonight. You see, conquering God's enemy, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's a lamp. Take your Bible and turn over to Philippians, please. I'm not preaching from Philippians tonight, but I want to make a reference. Philippians chapter number 2. And I'll not be long. Philippians chapter number 2. Watch this tonight. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. God wants us to see tonight that there's hope. There's hope in this world that we live in. Philippians chapter number 2, let's read verse 14 and 15. The Bible said here, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless. I never read in chapter 7 where any of those 300 people said, Gideon, son, have you lost your mind? See, God knew who to use, didn't He? Some of them went home fearful to start with. Some of them really wasn't concerned about the battle. Instead of keeping their eye on the enemy, they had their eye on the water. But there was 300 faithful men. A band of men, the Bible said, God gave to David, whose heart the Lord had touched. I want you to see here tonight, in the Word of God, in Philippians chapter number 2, here in verse number 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Watch verse 15. That you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst. How many sees it? In the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Now listen, you can get mad at me tonight if you want to, but we're living right in the middle of a wicked. In the middle of a wicked and a perverse nation. That goes back to that nation within a nation. We're right here in the middle. But what's God say for us to do right in the middle of it all? In the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, but He's not through. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. You say, preacher, I don't understand what's going to conquer the word of life. That you may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. Let me ask you a question. Does the devil ever jump up on your shoulder? You certainly can't be a youth director in this generation and the devil not come along at times and jump right up there and say, you are wasting your time. You certainly cannot pastor a church in this generation and the devil not come along and say, you are wasting your breath, your energy, and your time. You wouldn't be a deacon long without the devil jumping up there, a Sunday school teacher long. You won't even be a church member long, sister. Amen. You just joined this morning. That old devil will jump right up there and say, you are wasting your time. Let me ask a question. Somebody tell me what the devil is. And the father of a lie. That's all he knows how to do. He never has got it right. He never will get it right. He's a liar. And the father of a lie. How about this? Over there the Bible said we have victory. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm going to take God's word for it. There'll be a payday someday for serving the Lord. I'm not trying to play on anybody's emotion. But I got sense enough to know that back yonder sits a man that would love to be able to get a hold of that hammer one more time. Get a hold of that tape measure and that saw and that paintbrush. And help this pastor and others do what needs to be done around here. And I'm sure that all those years that he served, that old devil jumped up there at times and said, "You're wasting your time." And I'm going to tell you something right now. You'll never waste your time serving God. Gideon did not waste his time. He said, "Preacher, what happened? They won the battle. Why? How?" First of all, they didn't have a sword. They didn't have a shield. They didn't have a spear. The Midianites had taken all of that away from them. So God, in a very unlikely way, said, "Hold that up there." I wish I had a thought to illustrate that. But I'm not going to break Mr. and Mrs. 9:28-13. Amen. But you know what? In the light of this building, I could put a candle in there and I doubt if you could tell it. But I could take a claw hammer and knock a side out of that thing, and everybody could see the light that's on the inside that was there all the time. Let me ask you something. Brother Mike, doing that air conditioning work, down there where you have to buy your material, where you go in homes, you ever meet up with some wicked people, got a foul mouth on them? They've never learned that God's last name doesn't start with a D. You know what I'm talking about. Just let God break your heart for him. Just let God get a hold of you with a thought like this. "Lord, if it wasn't for you and your grace, I'd be a talking like they're talking, only a whole lot worse. I'd be a doing what they're doing, only a whole lot worse." I mean, knows I'm telling it right. Gideon, God reached down there and got a poor man, a nobody, and he did something with him. Because he made himself available to the God of heaven. I say tonight, God did it in an unlikely way, an unusual way. But God is God. I watched this last night and I'm done. How many believes God uses unlikely people in unlikely ways to accomplish unlikely things for his glory? You know what that tells me? There's hope. How many believes there's a bunch of unlikely people around here? I tell you what, you've got an unlikely pastor. I can tell you that right now. You've got an unlikely pastor's wife. She's 16 years old. We're riding down the road together. I looked over at her and I said, "Eve, do you fear God?" You know what she said? "No, am I supposed to?" That's how ignorant she was of the Word of God, of the things of God. She knew nothing about the things of God. I think God's done a pretty good job making her a pastor's wife. I don't know what you think. Amen. Unlikely. Amen. I was watching. Wait a minute now. Get the right one. One of them westerns. Bonanza. Well, the people, it's laughing like Bonanza. Amen. I was watching Bonanza the other day, and they was ready to put the sheriff out the pasture, so to speak. He's getting old. He had got shot. Anybody see it? No. Who did? You seen it, Brother Gary. Both of us backslid at the same time watching Bonanza. Amen. It's ready to put him out. You know, the town council had met and all that stuff. There was a gang. I can't remember. Wagner gang? I hope we don't have no Wagners in here. But the Wagner gang was coming to town. Brother Johnny, they had done run over bank after bank after bank after bank. And they said, "Man, we got to get us a new sheriff before they get here." And I tell you what, them four Cartwrights. I wouldn't be bothered with four Cartwrights. I couldn't get past that one named Hoss. Amen. But they lined up and they was going to bring their guns to town. They said, "Boys, go on home. Sheriff's got this under control." And I thought it was the neatest thing. They come riding into town. The sheriff didn't have no gun. He said, "No, I don't want no bloodshed. Don't want no trouble here today." They said, "Boys, just go on about your business. Do what you come here to do." And they went into the bank. And there wasn't no money in the bank. Open that safe. There wasn't no money in the safe. And so they begin to get a little bit ill. You know what I mean? So while they're just beginning to get a little bit ill, the sheriff pulls this big bar down over the doors so they can't get out of the bank. They've done barred the windows. The door's barred. And the banker, he jumped in the safe, pulled it shut and locked it. So they knock a windows out of the bank, and they go to shooting at them. And the sheriff says, boys, said, stay down here behind this wagon. Said, we don't want to get shot. They wasn't even shooting back at them. They realized they weren't going to be able to shoot long. And the sheriff said, now, boys, said, you can drag this out as long as you want to. But he said, as far as I know, there ain't much in there to eat. I've got some good food over here at the jail if you don't throw them guns out. And so they throwed the guns out, and here they come out in the street. Walked them over. It is funny. It's comical. You know what it seems to me like? God was leading somebody besides Gideon. He's leading the sheriff on Bonanza. Say amen. God can use unlikely people. I'm going to tell you something right now. You might think there's some folks around here getting old and getting washed up. Let me just go ahead and serve warning on you. Don't you let me hear you say it. I like people like old Brother Rightly Sally. Says, I want to stay in the field till the sun goes down. God's got a place in His field for the old ones. He's got a place in His field for the youngins. He's got a place in His field for everybody in between. And I believe God wants to use unlikely people. Amen. Right here at Bible Way. In unlikely ways to accomplish unlikely things for the glory of God. Do you believe He can use you down there at that school? I'm not saying this. Her head might look like a pumpkin when I get done, but I believe He already is. Amen. You believe God can use you down there at that Eastman, Brother David? Amen. I believe He already is. God could use all of us in a greater capacity, couldn't He? Amen. Brother Ted, you do a lot of traveling, don't you? You're bound to run into a lot of wickedness as you travel, brother. A lot of people, they don't know how to say a sentence without cussing, do they? But I tell you what, God can use us. But He wants us to be broken. He wants us to understand. I was riding with preachers one day, and they said, I want you to look going yonder, looking at a woman that was showing herself going down the road. I said, fellas, that you see is not her problem. It's her heart. God wants to reach her heart. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God's not going to reach anybody's heart while we're talking about them and running them down. God wants us to lift them up and love them and be a light to them. Say amen. I'm glad somebody loved me. Y'all ready to go home? Amen. I am too. I love you. Let this message sink in. God took a poor Gideon. I'm just asking. It's no shame. Is there anybody in here besides me that come from a poor family? I'm not ashamed of that. My daddy made a house into a barn for us to live in. A barn into a house for us to live in. Tyler, quit laughing at me. I learned your name, didn't I? Amen. Didn't even have to read lips this time. Amen. And when I was in grade school, I went over to a couple of my friends' houses. They lived in nice subdivision. One of them had a pool in the backyard. Wouldn't do me no good. I couldn't swim. I never did invite any of my friends, Brother Wayne. I was rich and didn't know it. My daddy. God bless my daddy, my mama. I can go back in that old place and go there at that oil stove. How many knows what an oil stove is? Boy, they didn't know what duck work was then back then, brother. They thought the ducks was all in the pond. Amen. go back to that old oil stove. When I was little, I had tonsils problems, and Mama would heat them diapers, Heather, wrap them around my head. Mama would say, honey, talk to Jesus. He ain't hearing Mama right now. Living out in the world, not living the way they should. And Mama knew it. And Daddy knew it. She'd say, talk to Jesus. She'd heat them diapers. They was clean. That always helps a little bit. Amen. Wrap them around them ears. Pet on me and love on me. And I look back now, man, those were the days. Those were the days. I can go back to that old porch. I can close my eyes. My brother. That 26-inch bicycle. He had a 20, but he was going to ride mine or die. He'd come off the hill by the porch, looking back over his shoulder. Look, Dad, look. Look, Rick, look. And about that time, he met the barn. Bent the front rim on my bicycle double. Amen. What a blessing. How many believes that Gideon's having a time right now? Looking back at them poor roots and looking what the God of heaven did when he picked him up, put his power in him, and said, now go whip them Midianites. Go whip them. You say, preacher, is there hope? Everybody listening? I'm looking at it. You say, preacher, us? We're the hope of Bloomingdale? No, it's the one you brought in with you. It's one that lives down inside of you. But God wants to break us so He can use us for His glory. Father, I thank You tonight for the privilege to stand this Lord's Day. God, I know some of our folk tonight are wore out, Lord. These old bodies get tired. But God, I pray tonight that we take truth from here. Down in our hearts, we just ask You, Lord, use us in any way You can, Lord, to conquer that enemy. Lord, You said we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Lord, we don't have to watch the devil take our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors and our co-workers. God, we have the light. We have the Lord. Give us a longing, our Father, in our heart to see Him saved. Help us, Lord, to be broken. Help us, God, that the altar would not be dry that Bible way. God, that we'd be like Jesus. Weep over those, our Father, that are wayward. Realize, our Lord, if it weren't for Your grace, we'd be in the same shape or worse. Father, I pray tonight, may the message find a lodging place. Thank You for this Lord's Day at Bible Way. Thank You for each one that's come. Lord, would You just break us and make us and mold us into the image of Your Son. God, will give You glory in Jesus' name.